Dick Weiss, former editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, 30-year veteran of the newspaper, 20 years at the Metro section. He's since been semi-retired, now runs a website, WeissWrite.com, WeissWrite.com. You might know his mom, who works at Macy's in the Galleria, all world, all knowing. Dick Weiss, welcome to Big 550 KTRS.
Great to be back.
Did you get a chance to hear my Rudy Giuliani interview on Friday?
No, I didn't. I heard about it. Right. But do you...
I wanted you to critique it for me.
Yeah.
You know what? I will say this. You have to give him credit. Of the people, of all the politicians who have come into St. Louis, I guess he held a news conference Saturday or Friday at some point, spoke with us, held a semi, I guess, open meeting, because he was certainly wasn't shy about telling people it was at Canyon Cafe. So at least you have to give him some points for being open and telling people he was coming to town and
right.
to meet with him.
It sounds like a very accessible guy. Did he lose his temper with you? He's supposed to have a temper.
No, he did not lose his temper. We had him for 10 minutes. We that morning in New York, because I was in New York when I taped it, John Edwards had called him out in his hometown about being, you know, a warmonger and so on and so forth. So I asked him about that. We spent about 8 minutes talking about the war and what he wanted. And so, you know, I thought it was, anyway, I wanted an honest critique from
I will listen to it this week. It's on your website?
It is not on my website. It will be on my website.
Okay, I'll go listen to it. We'll talk about it next Monday.
All right, good. All right, one of the reasons why you didn't hear about it nationally, my interview with Rudy Giuliani, was because there was another breaking story of national prominence. And that was, there was a little blonde girl who was let out of prison.
Yes. I have three words for the coverage.
Yes.
Oh, my God. God being spelled G-A-W-D, or do they say it? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Well, I will say this, that Thursday, when it was when we first got word that she was let out of prison, ABC had anchored coverage. We went to a reporter on the ground. Friday, it turned into a media frenzy over who was she going to go back to jail, what's the sheriff saying, and so on and so forth. Ultimately, now she's back in jail. But in terms of coverage, is this the beginning of the end, or is this the end of the end?
This is just a few moments before the apocalypse, I really believe. This was coverage was so excessive, it was depressing to be in the profession, to be... Which is not to say that there wasn't some interesting angles to the story.
Right.
You know, equal justice under the law and so on. But I was at home. I had the television on with the sound off. And it was hours and hours of waiting for her to emerge from her home, to get into the car. And then, of course, what was disappointing was you didn't have the coverage in the court. This was... Many hearings now, the cameras are in there, but this one wasn't, so we didn't get to hear her screaming and crying for her mommy as she was being carted away. But, you know, that idea of the angle being equal, the law was a fig leaf for the cable stations to stay with this hour after hour to report on essentially nothing. And it was it's an embarrassment, I think, to cable outlets that purport to have a good reputation, CNN, MSNBC.
Not only was my interview with Rudy Giuliani exclusive, which was dumped for Paris Hilton, but also, and I'm kind of joking there, but the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff,
yes.
Peter Pace, resigns.
Yes.
Now, we are in the middle of a war. He's the last... known architect of this war to resign, not to be re-upped, leaving. Important story in terms of war coverage.
Yes. It got a moment.
It got
I was watching MSNBC. They broke in. They say he resigned, and now back to our coverage. You know? Yeah, it was shocking. You wonder what would have happened if Osama had been captured, whether they would have been able to cut away from Paris Hilton
now,
to get to that.
To throw a bone to news directors around the country, it's what everybody was talking about.
Right.
Everybody wanted to know if she was going to be thrown back in jail.
That's right.
And so I'm not so sure the continuous coverage of chasing the cop car down the street, but it was a newsworthy item.
Right. Well, you know, as I have done before, I have often compared news to food groups. And to me, this was a child sitting down with Kix and Trix and throwing that in the bowl, maybe with a little Fruit Loops, and then throwing sugar on top of it.
Don't forget King Vitamin.
Yeah, King Vitamin. Oh, yeah, yeah. And,
little King
and
Vitamin
Camp there. Crunch.
I agree with you. It was over the top. But I will say this, in this day and age where newspapers and radio stations and television stations are trying to fight for their lives, if you have a story in which everybody wants to know about, give the people what they want.
Yeah, and who cares about dignity?
Well, yeah, no, I don't disagree with you, but whatever. But there, this is a bigger story or more real of a story than, say, Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh, yes, boy, that's a tough comparison, I'll tell you.
Well, is it as bogus as the O.J. Simpson news, chasing the Bronco?
Well, O.J. Was accused of killing somebody.
Right. That is true.
And he was a Hall of Fame football player.
Yes, he was also Nordberg on Naked Gun. Yep. All right, so anyway. All right, what else do you have for us?
Well, I wanted to give a shout-out. You know, I often criticize the Post-Dispatch for one thing or another. A shout-out to them for their fine special section on the St. Louis Blues. And not only the section, which was great reading, but the website. You can go on. One of the problems with writing about music, of course, is when you read it, you really can't hear it,
right?
Hear what they're talking about. But if you go on that website, you can hear lots of great blues sounds and wonderful conglomeration, a collection of artifacts and photos. And I recommend everybody go there, stltoday.com.
Now, this was in Sunday's newspaper.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
So, A&E section.
And was it an ode to St. Louis blues, or was it lamenting the fact that blues is dying everywhere, including St. Louis?
In a way, they were singing the blues about losing the blues in St. Louis in particular. There are still Memphis is a hot spot, and Chicago is as well. But in general, the genre has been taking a hit because a lot of fans are going to R&B and hip-hop and rap and so on. And so it's lost a lot off its fastball. But the one of the more interesting stories is about a local kid, 16 years old. His name is, I'm looking here in the paper, Marquise Knox. 16 years old, I mean, you'd think, how could anybody be singing the blues by the time they're 16? But he apparently does it very well. You can listen to his music on the website, and a very interesting feature about him. And, yeah, St. Louis is ought to be proud of the blues, and really hasn't been able to. They were going to try to have a blues museum, but they haven't got it up and running yet.
You know, and blues is considered the only truly American musical art form.
Yeah.
And there's not a blues station out there. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Blues is, you can find it on iTunes, but.
Right. Well, I think they have a show on KDHX, if I might mention your competition,
right.
For an hour or two or something.
No, you
not
cannot.
Much.
You cannot mention KDHX because DJ Wilson has not invited me on his Monday program in a while. Yeah.
Yeah, me
He's
neither.
Been snubbing me.
No, they have a media show on there, too. I haven't been invited.
How about that?
Yeah.
All right. You're also a big fan of John Grogan.
Not.
John Grogan wrote the New York Times best-selling book, Marley and Me, which was about him and his dog.
Yes, a disobedient dog. I think it was a lab, if I'm not mistaken. And he... You know, it's one of those books, his writers were, of course, very envious and jealous of anybody who like us who hits it big. And I always, my title for that book actually was Tuesdays with Marley, because it kind of combined that sad story that, who was that guy who wrote that?
Yeah, book? Mitch Albom.
Mitch Albom wrote, sold a ton of books about how this guy had changed his life, and Mitch really went on pretty much with his life as it was, being a very busy guy and not having time for anything or anybody. And so then John Grogan, who was a just a everyday writer for the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel, he became a columnist, then he moved up to the bigger paper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and he writes his column on his dog who died, and got a lot of phone calls and emails, so he expanded it to a book about a disobedient dog who died, and he sold a ton of them. And then John gets so big that he no longer really has time to be a columnist for the Enquirer, and he departs. Well, the Enquirer collected Grogan's columns and put it together in a volume and wanted to, make a little dough off of what Grogan had started in their paper. And then Grogan comes back and says, well, you didn't have my permission or you didn't get in touch with me, and I don't want anybody to buy this book of my column.
So,
and I thought that was kind of obnoxious.
So now, the way I understand it is the newspapers have every right to republish his columns.
Yeah, and he did it on their time.
Right.
And he wrote that first column about Marley, I assume, on their time. It was a column in the Enquirer. And so now he's given the back of his hand to the Enquirer. Now, I had, maybe I feel this more acutely because I was an editor and Elaine Veitz reported to me. And Elaine had her way of dealing with people at the paper, and she once asked permission to go to Washington for a period of time, promising that she would come back and write her columns again from St. Louis, because she was, after all, a local columnist, and we gave her the permission, and then she wouldn't come back. She wouldn't come back to St. Louis, and that was a big stink over that, and we felt like she didn't keep her promises, so... Grogan, Veitz, I don't have any use for him.
So what you're saying is go out and buy this book.
Is that what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're saying.
It's hard to say because if the columns aren't any better than the book, then it's not worth it. But
all right. Each week on your website, you put on a story, the best story you've never read. What is this week's best story we've never read?
This story is about a couple of ministers, Randy and Paula White. Randy and Paula, about 1990, packed up all their belongings, which you could fit into a U-Haul trailer, and moved to Tampa, Florida, to start a church. 15 years later, they have a private jet, a condo in New York, and another in Tampa, and they're rolling in dough. And this is a story about how they did it. And they did it in part through a lot of outreach and ministries and, as you might say, the grace of God, and helped some poor people along the way. But it's really a question whether they should be as wealthy as they are now. Some readers, local readers, may be reminded of the Joyce Meyer Ministries and the stories that appeared in the Post-Dispatch a while back, that also was followed by a rather lengthy correction, which was quite controversial within the paper. So this is another couple of ministers who have done very well.
You were there during that whole Joyce Meyer Ministries deal. And if memory serves me correctly, the correction was controversial because was it basically saying, we stand by our reporting, but we got like two words wrong or something? What was the argument?
Yeah,
I forget.
The corrections were several things. And there was a lot of argument on whether they were major errors or not. But the correction was quite long and a bit of an apology. And it really rankled some members of the staff who saw it as not backing up a reporter who essentially got it.
Right.
Got the story, did a good job in uncovering what was going on with Joyce Meyer's Ministries. And it led to a lot of discord within the paper. And I think in discord between a particular reporter, Carolyn Tuft, and the editor, Ellen Soderber. Carolyn's still there, and Ellen is not.
Right.
And there was a grievance over it, and Carolyn, I think, felt vindicated at the end of it, in terms of, although it was sort of a split decision.
All right, so we can read this story about the Tampa Bay ministry on WeissWrite.com.
Yes, you will find the link at WeissWrite.com.
WeissWrite.com. Dick, our media critic, as always. It's a pleasure to chat with you. Hope all's well. You will not be there Friday, Saturday night at Grant's Farm, but you will be there in spirit.
Yes, I will, and I can't wait. Can't wait to see what you look like. And
see the bald version.
And I guess they can go watch if people want to see what you look like? You'll be on charter after this?
Chalk Talk. First of all, it's not a little sports show. It's a big sports show. And, yes, Charter is sending their cameras there.
Okay. Good.
So, yes, you'll be able to see it on Chalk Talk as well.